was away from Jackson for about the last 9 or 10 days. I'm just now coming back. I haven't been around much since the new year. I was gone all this last week and was away from the parish last weekend. One at a conference down in Toledo, Ohio, called the Encounter Conference. And then right after that, I went on retreat, my yearly retreat, which this year I took down in Tallahassee at this place called the John Paul II Healing Center. Wonderful, wonderful retreat. So it's great to be back, and especially to be back to preach on this Sunday, the Sunday of the Baptism of the Lord. We have a lot of feasts, right, a lot of celebrations, a lot of different places in the liturgical calendar where we will highlight, right, this specific action of God or that specific celebration or this place during the life of Jesus. And today, for the celebration of the baptism of the Lord, I would go so far as to say that this is one of the most important feasts that we celebrate in the entire year. Of course, we have, right, the great feasts of Christmas and of Easter. But I would say this, that in our time, in 21st century Western civilization, and perhaps this would just include all of human history, this feast, in a very personal, particular way, speaks very important words to every human heart. Why? So today's feast is the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. And of course, the Baptism of the Lord is that place in the life of Jesus where he is going to begin his public ministry. So this is the place in the Gospels where, in this first public moment, where Jesus comes to cleanse the waters as he is baptized by John, and he makes the waters holy. And of course, the heavens are opened, right? And a voice from the heavens, as the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, the voice says, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased." What is it that Jesus is doing? What is it that God is doing? You see, in this moment of the Feast of the Baptism and of the Baptism of the Lord, I believe that God is taking us back to the very beginning. That this feast speaks directly to the place in the Garden of Eden where God first made us to be in communion with him, and where sin and brokenness first entered the human heart. Because you see, in the baptism of the Lord, what is revealed in a public way for the first time in human history is the specific fatherhood of God. The fatherhood of God. And when Jesus receives his baptism, God the Father manifests his voice to the whole world to say, "This is my Son." You see, God in salvation history, specifically in the person of Jesus, comes to reestablish his fatherhood in every human heart. God's fatherhood in every human heart. Because it was that fatherhood which was the place that went wrong in every human heart in the Garden of Eden. You see, Satan in the beginning, in his jealousy of God, wanted to destroy everything that God was going to create. And in particular, Satan wanted to destroy the pinnacle of creation, which is God who made man in his image and likeness. In God's image and likeness, right? God made us to be like him. And in our deepest identity, what that means most foundationally is that we are the image of God in the way that Jesus relates to God the Father. That we were made as children. That we were made as ones, right, who are beloved. And so in the Garden of Eden, the very place that Satan goes to destroy humankind is to the fatherhood of God. You see, the fatherhood of God is the reality that Satan tries to break in the human heart. Because the fatherhood of God is the one who loves and who gives all things, right? God the Father gives every single thing that he is from all eternity, right? The Son is enveloped and baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire because all things are given to him. He is in complete communion with the one who gives Right? But in the Garden of Eden, the very thing that goes wrong is that Satan tempts the human heart by saying, God the Father is not good. That you are created by one who will not give you all things. And who's going to hold out on you. And who's going to keep things from you because he doesn't want you to be happy or he doesn't want to fulfill the desires in you. And what happens, right? You know, Eve and Adam as well see the desires that are in their human heart and they begin to believe that God the Father will not, as a provider, fulfill those desires. And in that moment, they make the decision to take instead of to receive. To be like God. And of course, what they didn't know in that moment is that they were already like God. And so enters brokenness. And that brokenness has remained in every human heart that has ever existed, that has been born into this world. So when Jesus comes to bring salvation to humanity, the very thing that Jesus is going to do is to reveal what Satan revealed as a lie. Jesus is going to reveal that God is a good father. Every single one of us in this church, we have daddy wounds. We have a father wound. Some of us, perhaps several or many of us, right, have father wounds from our own dads in various ways, like our earthly fathers. But every single one of us has a spiritual father wound. Right, this brokenness that we have been born into that tends to make us susceptible, not to God the Father, but to Satan, who, as it were, is also called a father. Satan is called a father. Man, just this week, I thought about that, and I was like, that just blew me away. Satan is called a father. He is called the father of lies. And so the battle of your human heart and the battle of my human heart is, to which father do we listen? Do we listen to the father of all providence, the father of all love who gives everything? Or do we listen to the father of lies? Because the father of lies tells us false things about our identities that lead us to make choices in regards to our desires that can never fulfill those desires. You see, but God the Father of providence is one who comes to you and to me and says, I see you, and I know you, and I come to give everything to you. And because he comes to give everything to us, he gives everything to us in Jesus, who himself says, right, in the Gospels, and particularly in that place at the end of his earthly ministry, where he's speaking to his disciples, and he says, to see me, to know me, is to see the Father and to know the Father. And if you see my goodness, and if you see my ministry, you see the Father's goodness, and you see the Father's mission. And so Jesus, being baptized on this day in the River Jordan, manifests the Father's voice, who begins to retake the ground, which is the sanctuary of every human heart, your heart and my heart. That message in our day is more needed, perhaps, than any other message. Right? For us to be truly transformed as disciples of Jesus, for us to be radically attached to God, has to begin in the healing of our father wound. The father wound that we receive by virtue of being born into this world. That in so many and in various ways in each of our human lives and in each of our personal histories has manifested itself in one way or another way, in large ways and in small ways, in all the wounds and all the brokenness and all of the difficulties that have been a part of our lives. And in those wounds and in that brokenness and in those difficulties, there are two voices that speak to us about that brokenness, about that wound, the Father of lies and the Father of providence. So Jesus invites you and invites me especially on this feast, to see that within us and to ask ourselves in very humble and vulnerable and honest prayer, do I believe about myself what Jesus knows to be true about himself? That I am a son, and that I am a daughter. And that me being a son, or that me being a daughter, means I am attached to one who is all provident and all good, and who doesn't hold out on me, and who sees me, and who knows me, and who desires to fulfill every desire in me in a way beyond anything that I could ever imagine or even know how to ask for. That is the glory of this feast day, the baptism of the Lord, which is not just something in the life of Jesus, but was meant to declare something in every person's life, your life and my life, that when we hear those words, do we see that? Do I see that as being spoken to me? And if we're all honest, many of us don't. Right? Many of us don't. I mean, we can hear this scripture verse, right? And we can say, oh yeah, I mean, sure, I get it. Yep. Mm-hmm. But there's a very real difference, right, between what we know to be true in our minds by faith and what we experience to be true personally in our hearts. And that knowledge, and that lived knowledge. So this is an invitation, a very important invitation to you and to me, to be able to receive this teaching, to be able to receive this gospel, not just as a Sunday celebration, but as a very real and personal question. It's a very real and personal invitation, is a very real and personal declaration to you and to me. Precisely, and I would say especially in those places in our lives where we really have been wounded, where we really have been broken, where we really have been confused by suffering, maybe where we really have received the lies of the Father of Lies about who we are. Because Jesus comes to heal. And in order to transform us, he heals firstly and foremost our Father wound so that we can live in the same joy that Jesus lives for all eternity.